The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources, and we will start with the AARP magazine. So let's do the A list. Six things Patricia Heaton says to try right now. And this was an article that was done earlier in the pandemic, but I think it bears reminding us now. One, get busy. The first week of quarantine, I slept a lot, watched a ton of TV, and ate whatever. Then I got sick of myself. Now I clean and cook for my husband and sons, and I'm also taking walks, learning Spanish, and doing the keto diet. I'm best when I have a schedule. Two, see both sides. Politics have become so polarized that I've pulled away, but I gently tweeted recently about protecting the vulnerable and opening the economy, and I got 30,000 hits. Three, look good. I've had Botox and fillers, so when my dermatologist's office opened back up, I was first in line. Nothing drastic. I'm just trying to preserve whatever I have that might be good. 4. Just pray. I miss going to Mass, but you can do that anywhere in the world now online. I log on, and I hate to say it, I'm in my pajamas sometimes. 5. Stick with it. It's a wonderful time for older women to explore dreams we've put off. In your second act, I write about taking a painting class and the mental hoops I had to jump through to finish because the other women were so great. The teacher came up to me and said, "Wow, you're a messy painter." I had paint on my face and my clothes, but you can't worry about what others think when you're starting a second act. 6. Go your own way. Being 62 is great. With mortality even more present now and the end looming, you realize, I don't need to do anything I don't want to do. I don't have to tolerate people who aren't good for me. And now, from also AARP, Upfront Listen, Album Joy. A millennial ditches playlists and discovers active listening. Older music lovers know the satisfactions of a well-made album. A journey for the ears, curated and roadmapped by the artist. So it may be interesting to learn that playlist-obsessed millennials are discovering the joys of this form. Charlotte Barnett, 28, a New York City writer, who has contributed to humor site McSweeney's Internet Tendencies, among other media outlets, shares her active listening experience during the pandemic. With access to nearly every song ever crooned, internet streaming audio services have made it easy to create perfect playlists of various tunes and artists. But somewhere along the way, my generation forgot what it's like to listen to a suite of songs from a single artist in the order intended. In COVID-19 lockdown, in the nothing-to-do days, I turned to Prince's Purple Rain. I set the vinyl record on my turntable, and I sat, and I listened. I did not exercise, cook, or clean. I was able to focus on the album, the craftsmanship of its beats, sonics, and lyrics, and especially I was able to appreciate how it came together into one fluid construction. Listening to Prince's masterpiece from start to finish, from the psychedelic intro of Let's Go Crazy to the guitar finale of Purple Rain, reminded me that an album can tell a story. In Prince's musical autobiography, a young man moves through his yearning and passions into maturity. The worst kind of snob is a music snob, and so I won't tell you that listening to an album is the superior method of absorbing music, but it took the spare time of quarantining to get me to listen to a complete album with appreciation and engagement, and I'm so happy I did. And again, that was words of wisdom from Charlotte Burnett, a New York City writer. Now let's move on to an article from the Essential Retirement Guide magazine. Setting yourself up to prosper. Prepare your finances, social life, and health for retirement. Retirement planning tends to focus on money, and for good reason. Without a steady paycheck, you've got to be sure you have the cash you need to cover all of your expenses for the rest of your life. But there are other important considerations to keep in mind. The recent coronavirus pandemic has driven home for many people how important both physical health and social connections are to thriving in your golden years. Keeping an eye on your finances. The good news is we're living longer. In the U.S., the average 65-year-old woman can expect to live to age 85.5, and the average 65-year-old man can expect to live to age 84. While longevity means you'll likely have more years to enjoy your retirement, it also means you'll need to be careful to make your money last for your whole lifetime. Here are a few factors to consider. Longevity risk. Living longer means many of us will have more time to love, play, work, and learn. However, longevity also brings several new challenges. Longevity risk, the risk of outliving your money, is something every retiree needs to consider. To be sure your retirement income lasts for your lifetime, be realistic about present and future expenses, such as housing, health care, and discretionary spending. If you think your investments and saving plans may come up short as a result of recent market volatility, for example, you may need to find ways to boost your income, perhaps through part-time work, or you may need to slash expenses, which could include downsizing or minimizing entertainment spending. The cost of health care. This vital expense is among the biggest concerns for retirees. In fact, a 65-year-old couple that retired in 2019 is expected to pay $285,000 in health care and medical expenses during their retirement. While the COVID-19 crisis has heightened many seniors' concerns about paying for health care, the pandemic isn't likely to significantly drive up health care costs for most people enrolled in Medicare. For now and in the future, you'll still want to keep a close eye on how much you need to budget for health care and make smart decisions about what type of Medicare you'll enroll in. Be sure to review what Medicare will cover and use an HSA, if available, as a tax-advantaged way to cover medical expenses like Medicare premiums. You may also want to consider purchasing long-term care insurance to cover the gaps that Medicare doesn't. Remember that insurance premiums may rise as you age, so purchase policies as early as you can if you want to pursue this option. And here's a pro tip with this article. Your best bet for fighting longevity risk, plan well, save carefully, and slash your expenses aggressively during your working years. Now back to the article. The importance of community. It's no secret. Having a strong network of friends and family contributes to happiness and improves both physical and mental health. To enjoy a satisfying, full life as a retiree, you'll need to spend some time considering what your social life will look like after you stop working. This is particularly important because social isolation has been on the rise. More than a third of Americans aged 45 and up reported experiencing loneliness, according to an AARP study, and the impact of social isolation on our well-being is significant. The social challenges of retirement. For most of us, it gets trickier to make new friends as we age. While social circles used to be forged on the playground, in student clubs, among athletic teammates, or in dorm rooms, as we settle into the adult routines of work and family, cultivating new friendships isn't always easy, especially if mobility is limited. It's not surprising that for many of us, our social life is tied strongly to our workplace. More than half of workers spend more time with their colleagues than with their families, according to the HP Workplace Survey. What's more, the act of retiring tends to shrink our social network, according to a study by the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Making a plan for your future social self. The good news is that just as you're creating a financial roadmap for retirement, you can also start making changes now to boost your likelihood of enjoying a well-connected life in retirement. Start by contemplating your interests. Are you a dedicated yogi or a mountain biking fanatic? Is there a social cause you're passionate about or an artistic pursuit that you've always wanted to try? Think about how you might want to spend your days in retirement. Then find ways to engage in those activities with others. Volunteering, taking a class or getting involved in civic activities, clubs or social groups, and church groups that interest you are all smart ways to begin widening your social circle. If it's not possible to meet in person, digital tools such as video chat and video conferencing can be a great way to stay in touch with others, even to facilitate group activities like book clubs. Taking care of your health in retirement. To get the most out of your life in retirement, you'll want to be in optimal health, both physically and mentally. So, exercise, exercise, exercise. Getting up and moving regularly has been shown to increase longevity and lower stress. But a fitness routine doesn't have to mean hitting the gym. Figure out what type of exercise you enjoy, whether it's dancing, swimming, walking, or team sports. It's never too late to start enjoying the benefits of regular physical activity. Develop healthy eating habits. A 2016 Harvard study showed that people who ate a diet rich in plant-based proteins had a lower mortality risk than those who relied more heavily on animal-based proteins. In particular, those who ate a diet high in red meat had an increased risk of death from cardiovascular and other diseases. A plant-based diet may not only help you live longer, but it can also help you save money, since plant-based proteins such as beans and soy are more affordable than meat. Manage your stress. We all experience stress, but how we deal with it can make a huge difference in how we age. Meditation is one popular research-based way to reduce stress levels, change the way our cells age, and possibly extend our lifespan. Now I'm going to keep on with this articles from this magazine, The Essential Retirement Guide, because this leads into the one we just talked about. Staying flexible in retirement. Keeping an open mind can enrich your golden years. Retirement represents the ultimate luxury, freedom to use your time however you choose. But given the economic shocks caused by the coronavirus pandemic, many of today's retirees may have to get a little creative with their retirement plans. Here are some ways a little flexibility today can pay off in the future. Cut back on spending. The early years of retirement are usually ones in which people spend a bit more. But if you're retiring in the middle of an economic downturn, you may need to curtail your spending until the economy recovers somewhat. Belt tightening can feel like a drag during a time that's supposed to be celebratory and carefree. But to make sure your retirement savings last for the long haul, create a realistic budget that can help you control your spending. Consider which major expenses you can put off for now and other ways you can reduce your spending. That way, you can minimize or delay drawing down stock market investments, which can give them time to rebound along with the market. With luck, you may eventually be able to enjoy some of the things you've been putting off. Reconsider relocation. Many seniors take retirement as an opportunity to downsize or move. Unfortunately, the global effect of the coronavirus pandemic may make relocating more difficult than it was previously. If your retirement plans depend on selling your home, you may have a difficult time finding a buyer. And even with historically low interest rates, if your retirement savings have been depleted during a market downturn, it may be particularly unwise to cash out your 401k to help pay for a new place. Consider alternatives to the relocation plan you'd had in mind. That may mean holding off on moving for a year or two or considering new, less expensive locations. Develop financial flexibility. If you've spent the last few decades building a well-balanced portfolio as your savings have grown, this may be a good time to reassess your savings plan. The ultimate goal, prioritizing long-term stability. For example, if you were planning to shift a large chunk of your portfolio from stocks to more conservative investments right away, you may want to wait until the market improves rather than risk losing by selling in a volatile market. Similarly, making sure you have enough liquid access accessible to cover a few years' worth of living expenses can help you be flexible with your spending while you wait for your 401k to bounce back. If you're unsure what the best investing move is right now, enlist the help of a financial professional with a fiduciary duty to act in your best interest. And the pro tip on this article is, if the recession has forced you to collect Social Security benefits before full retirement age, be aware that your monthly benefits check will be reduced. Now, we've been talking about self-soothing strategies to help break a chain of anxious thoughts quickly. And this article was from the Canadian Broadcasting Company Life Program, and it was by Nicole Mahabir. So now we're all the way to the last set of exercises. Firmly patting the body. Sudden stimulation of the nerves breaks the existing thought pattern of anxiety. The firm sensation of touch also increases the blood flow and stimulates the parasympathetic nerve system. You can simply open your palms and pat your head, shoulders, chest, belly, thighs, and knees. You can also firmly rub the crown, chest, and belly 10 times clockwise and 10 times counterclockwise. Clapping your hands. A quick shift of emotional state can also occur from light pressure combined with an impactful sound. Clapping stimulates acupuncture points in the palms and refocuses your attention. The body will be suddenly activated, and the sound and touch will break the cycle of thought or any strong emotional state. Clap your hands 10 times. And finally, stamping your feet. Your feet similarly stimulates reflexology points in the feet. Stamping your feet does this and grounds the body into a calm state. So we should all try those. Now let's go back to AARP magazine. Healthy You, the Vitamin D Conundrum. Is our fear of sun exposure limiting a nutrient vital to our health? Imagine a 100% natural, totally free substance that could help prevent bone loss, reduce cancer risk, support cognitive function, and perhaps even protect you from COVID-19. Now imagine being told that the primary and free way to get this curative substance might kill you. That will give you a good idea of the conundrum surrounding vitamin D. If you can solve the vitamin D paradox, you would deserve the Nobel Prize, jokes Amy McMichael, MD, chair of dermatology at Wake Forest University School of Medicine. The paradox is that you can get vitamin D three ways: via sunlight, your diet, or supplements. Yet many of us don't get enough. How do you balance these sources smartly and safely to get the vitamin D you need? Our bodies create vitamin D naturally by converting the ultraviolet UV rays of the sun into this nutrient. It's actually a hormone, not a traditional vitamin. But a big part of the vitamin D paradox is that we've been told to avoid those UV rays like the plague for good reason. Sun rays, or tanning beds, are the primary cause of skin cancer, which affects roughly 5 million Americans every year. Most of those cancers aren't deadly, but a small percentage are melanoma, which kills nearly 7,000 people annually, mostly those over 65. White people have 20 times the incidence rate of melanoma compared to African Americans because the lighter your skin, the less melanin you have as protection from UV exposure. But there's a flip side to this equation. In a 2006 report, 41.6% of Americans overall were vitamin D deficient, but the deficiency rate was 82.1% for African Americans and 62.9% for Hispanics. That may be due to higher levels of melanin, but it's not entirely clear. Is it related to diet? Is it the way we metabolize vitamin D? It could be many factors, McMichael says. As to the long-term risks of vitamin D inadequacy of people in color, things are even more murky. A 2018 research review found that few studies were conducted in populations other than white females of European descent. What we do know is that as we get older, our bodies become less and less efficient at converting UV rays into this crucial hormone. An older adult needs almost three times as much sun exposure as a child to produce the same amount of vitamin D. As we age, the precursors to vitamin D production found in the skin are reduced, said Kim Fodenhauer, a doctor of osteopathic medicine at Michigan State University in East Lansing. Weight gain also impacts our vitamin D levels. D is stored in fat, so the heavier we get, the more of it is sequestered in our abdominal fat, rather than being available for the body to use. A diversity of uses. While vitamin D's role in protecting bone density is well known, recent research has centered around its role in the immune system. Researchers at Trinity College in Dublin analyzed past studies of vitamin D and discovered something shocking. The lower a population's vitamin D levels, the higher the number of COVID-19 infections and the greater its rate of mortality. That may be because vitamin D helps regulate inflammation and reduce the risk of cytokine storms, an overreaction of the inflammatory system that has been a factor in many COVID-19 deaths. Unexpectedly, the populations of northern countries like Finland and Sweden have higher levels of vitamin D than those in southern European areas like Spain and Italy, and also lower rates of coronavirus infection and mortality. That's in part because government regulations there require greater vitamin D supplementation in food, helping to make their diets higher in the vitamin that is typical elsewhere, or than is typical elsewhere. Why sunlight might be better. The problem is, our American diet doesn't really offer many great sources of vitamin D. The typical American diet yields only about 274 international units, IUs, of vitamin D per day. That leaves vitamin D pills to fill the gap. But how much should we take each day? The daily recommended intake, DRI, for vitamin D assumes minimal sun exposure and recommends 600 IUs per day for most adults and 800 for those over 70. More doesn't result in further improvement and could be dangerous. A 2019 study found that doses as high as 10,000 IUs per day resulted in bone loss. I regard vitamin D and calcium as threshold nutrients. Deficiency is bad, but once you reach adequate levels, there is minimal benefit in pushing the dose higher, says David Hanley, MD, a professor emeritus of medicine at the University of Calgary in Alberta. And that's why ensuring you get regular doses of sunlight might make a lot of sense. After a certain amount of ultraviolet sun exposure, the skin stops making vitamin D, he says. Here comes the sun. It's all right. So, can most of us skip the pills and step into the light? Yes, says Michael, who points to a definitive study that found that among white people, reduced vitamin D levels were not associated with using sunscreen, but they were associated with staying indoors or in the shade or covering up with long sleeves. That doesn't mean that all of us, including people with darker skin, don't need to use sunscreen or be aware of their sun exposure, McMichael says. Just be sensible outdoors. Ask your doctor if you might need vitamin D testing or supplements. Writing in the medical journal JAMA, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force concluded there is little benefit for doctors to advise people over 24 to completely avoid the sun unless they have fair skin or a family history of melanoma. Michael Hollick, MD, a professor at Boston University, adds one more argument. When you are exposed to sunlight, you produce a mechanism to repair DNA, which lowers cancer risk, he says. It's really sunburning that is the culprit for causing skin cancer, not small incidental moments of sun exposure. Bottom line, use sunscreen, but remember that sunlight is often more of a friend than a foe. Now, with the few minutes that we have left, I'm going to continue with some moments in sports we will never forget. October 31st, 2002, Yao Ming joins the Houston Rockets as the first international player selected first in the NBA draft. March 22, 2005, Tennessee women's basketball coach Pat Summitt gets her 880th win, an NCAA record. August 16, 2016, Simone Biles scores 4 Olympic gold medals in Rio. August 17, 2008, Michael Phelps earns 8 gold medals in a single Olympic Games on his way to becoming the most decorated Olympic athlete in history. August 16, 2008, at the Beijing Olympics, Usain Bolt sets the world record in the 100-meter dash, logging a 9.69-second finish that clinches his status as the fastest man alive. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.